I have a bone to pick with the phrase comfort zone specifically, and I will tell you why. I think the phrase is really misleading because 9 times out of 10, your comfort zone is a place you're staying in out of avoidance or fear of something negative happening, not because you're actually comfortable. So how then are you supposed to successfully get out of it and try something new when it's not even somewhere you feel safe or happy in the first place? Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Gumption. I'm your host, Lil, and this is the podcast for dreamers and doers that helps you become and stay the main character of your own life. We have really been on a roll with the interviews lately. Our last 5 episodes have been phenomenal interviews with guests that I am so honored to have on the show. So I decided to shake it up a little bit and go back to the solo episode model for just this once. Mostly because as I try to practice gumption in my own life, I'm constantly redefining it and expanding its definition and reflecting on what that actually means. Like, what does it look like to be a gumptious, which is not a word, but we've invented it on the show, person? Which brings us to this week's topic, putting yourself out there. Now, this is kind of a cliche expression. I think most people know what it means, at least on a surface level, but I wanted to dive deeper into it, explore how it came to be used as we understand it, some actual tangible ways of doing so, and very importantly, how it is actually beneficial to your life, meaning how you can apply this to your personal goals, lifestyle, and personality, because we all know there is no one-size-fits-all approach for something like putting yourself out there, but rather it is going to vary based on where you are in your life. Let's just jump right in, shall we? In an effort to really say something meaningful about this, I decided to look up some definitions of the phrase putting yourself out there. Even though it's very self-explanatory, I wanted to see what kind of words were being used to describe this phenomenon. And something that I kept seeing over and over was experience. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take that word and I'm going to run with it because I think experience is really the crux of what we're trying to capture here when we say putting yourself out there. So I went on my handy dandy etymology online, and that may be the most English major thing you have ever heard anyone say, but recently in a writing group I've been leading and participating in, we've found a lot of meaning by looking up words and their origins and like the history of the word itself, how it came to be known and in what context, and how it's kind of drifted into what it means now. Interestingly enough, this word originated in the late 14th century, and it has ties to both Old French and Latin. But what I found absolutely fascinating was that the word experience came from the idea of an experiment, like a scientific proof, repeating a trial over and over again to further understand a result. So that first part of the word from the Latin root experiri, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, meaning to try or to test, and then peritus, the second part of the word, coming from the suffix of per, meaning to risk. Where am I going with all this crazy word nonsense, you might ask? Well, here's where I'm going with it. To me, putting yourself out there means actively engaging in the world. And the only way to do that is through experiences. And what I really like about this etymology moment we're having here is it sheds light on the fact that an experience is not inherently positive or negative. It's really emphasizing that experiences are trying things, trying them maybe sometimes over and over, and also risking something, whether that is your own comfort, which we'll talk about in a little bit when we get to the topic of the comfort zone, or whether it's your pride, experiencing new things, or sometimes experiencing things with a different group of people than you're used to can be embarrassing, it can be challenging, it can be a little uncomfortable. And it really is important to remember that we all feel that way. But that doesn't mean that the discomfort outweighs the benefits of giving it the good old college try and putting yourself out there. Now for the fun part. How do you actually go about putting yourself out there. I've divided these into three separate categories based on the mind, the body, and the heart. Depending on what part of you feels stuck and what part of you feels like you need to put yourself out there some more than what you're already doing, that part that's seeking a change is going to warrant maybe a different approach than another aspect of yourself. So by exploring it in this way, it kind of tackles each one segmented, and you can choose which one works best for you based on the context of where your life is right now. The first way of putting yourself out there deals with the mind, and I think this one sounds the most self-explanatory, but simultaneously it is the most difficult in practice. That would be getting out of your own head and getting out of your own way. Our minds are wild places, and a lot of the time your thoughts can convince you of things that are totally untrue. For example, one common anxiety that I and many other people share is, oh my gosh, everybody hates me, or everybody's staring at me, everybody's paying attention to me. These are little things that our anxieties and our insecurities grab onto and absolutely take flight. Like, they are going ham in there, convincing us to believe these things wholeheartedly and further internalize them and make that become part of our personality. What I find too is that this really leads to self-sabotaging, whether it's in friendships or relationships, or it's opportunities like professional things, jobs you want to apply for, a dream position that you've been wanting to do and you're qualified for, but you're allowing yourself and your insecurities to kind of convince you to steer away from that. This is so natural, and from what I hear based on my family and friends who I've talked to, this is something that we as humans just inherently do. But it only takes one time of you hearing yourself say something that's self-sabotaging or self-deprecating to realize that there are ways around this mindset. Like, no, you do deserve the thing that you really want, but you don't believe in your heart that you're qualified for. You do deserve the relationship or the friendship that is reciprocating and makes you feel heard and loved just like you're doing for those other people. And while we can subsist on being stuck inside our own minds for a little while, it takes very little to propel you out of that. And once you're out of it, you can really see the other side and you can hear how ridiculous some of your insecurities sound, because you have that outside perspective. One way to get out of your own head without even leaving the house is to read a book where the narrator is very different from you. And I don't mean fly through it. I don't mean skim over paragraphs. I mean read word for word and stop and say, huh, yeah, that line of dialogue really resonated with me. Or this is probably how I would react in that situation, but they did this. That's so interesting. And whether it's a real person or a fictional character, you know that there is an author behind that character. So you can kind of examine how they were building this literary person around the scenarios that they're in, how you would handle those scenarios. And that right there is allowing you a little light at the end of the tunnel to get out of your own thoughts. Another great way to do this, and probably my favorite way, is by talking to friends who are honest with you. For me, there is nothing worse than the feeling that your friends are tiptoeing around telling you something because they don't want to hurt your feelings. And while there is a difference between brutal, blunt honesty and just genuine, authentic honesty, I think it's super important to seek out and maintain relationships with people you know you can trust, because they're always going to be honest. These are the people who are going to hype you up when you're all in your head because you think you're totally out of someone's league that you like, and they're like, no, actually, this is a great match for you. Like, you should go for it. You should make a move, because this person would be lucky to have you in their life, and vice versa. Your friends like this are also going to know your strengths and weaknesses, and whether they're intentionally thinking about that or it's kind of more subliminal, they're going to be able to tell you how to shift your approach if you're in a sticky situation and you need some advice. Like, oh, you're really good at this. You should try doing it this way. Or, oh, maybe this is not your strong suit, but you have these other talents that you can use to get through the situation. And that's a great way to combat the battles you're having inside your own head, because somebody is giving you an honest outside perspective with the context of knowing you as a person and knowing there's certain things that you might not be able to recognize in yourself, but they recognize in you. The last way I really like to get out of my own head is by journaling. You don't have to be someone who considers themselves a writer to get something out of this. And I find that the physical act of writing down your thoughts, especially when you try to keep up with the pace of them, like your mind is racing, you're trying to write them out as fast as you can, it just makes them evaporate. And it can be very freeing to actually see the words on a page and decide, I'm gonna burn that, or I'm gonna crumple it up and throw it across the room and then drive over it with my car and then pin it on my wall. You can do whatever you want with it at this point. And it's like this little memento of a moment that captures the exact thoughts you were having. Sometimes it can be very powerful to look back on those journal entries when you're in a totally different place in your life. I recently just reread through all my high school journals and let me tell you, that was quite the roller coaster ride. But my point is, when I was writing those things down, those feelings were everything to me. They were monumental. And now, almost 10 years later, I couldn't care less about what crush I was having on a particular day. But the fact that I wrote them down and that I saved them allows me to have perspective both later in life and also allowed them to get out of my head for me to relieve some of that stress at the time. So we've covered the mind, the first step to putting yourself out there mentally. Next up, we have the body. And I'm not saying that a walk can cure 95% of all ills, but it's kind of what I'm saying, because on a basic level, getting physically out of the house is the simplest form of putting yourself out there. Whether you are getting in your car and driving to a coffee shop to get yourself a little sweet treat that you need, or you're just lacing up your tennis shoes and walking out of the house, congratulations, you have put yourself out there. When your body is physically out of your house, it is impossible not to be confronted with other perspectives in the world, whether it is conversations you're hearing between two strangers walking in front of you on the street, or the beauty of nature, the breeze in your hair, those sensory feelings that really just ignite you inside, or something scary, something joyful. You are taking one step closer to being the main character. Part of that goes back to the experiences thing, right? Like if you're getting out there, but you're not necessarily seeking anything out in particular, you're still risking yourself in a way to be exposed to whatever the world is willing to throw at you. And you're going to come back to your home base as a changed person, whether the change is monumental or as small as seeing a beautiful clover on the side of the road and stopping to admire it for a second. But let's take this a step further. Once you're physically out of the house, you've got your cute little outfit on and you're ready to go experience something in the world. How do you put yourself out there even more? This, my friends, is where I want to introduce to you the idea of third places. I did not come up with this, so don't give me credit for this one. This term was coined by US sociologist Ray Oldenburg in his book that came out in 1989 called The Great Good Place. And what it describes as a third place is a place that is outside of your home or where you work, where you can go to relax and hang out. I'm sure that hearing this, you can probably think of a few third places you go to in your own life. Maybe one is the gym. Maybe one is the coffee shop around the corner from your apartment. Maybe it's the pub. But the importance of these places is that these are locations where you can exchange ideas, have a good time, and build relationships. And these are all essential to our being happy and healthy. Sometimes the reason it feels really hard to put yourself out there is because you haven't found your third places yet. And it's not even to say that everybody needs multiple. I think some people definitely do. I am one of those people. I like to have lots of different options as far as third places go, but Having just one can completely revolutionize the way you feel because it builds a sense of community that you can return to. Also, you should take some comfort in knowing that if you are struggling to find a third place, it's not entirely your fault. As a matter of fact, there's been lots of scholarly conversation recently about how third places are at risk of disappearing, partially because of the way in America, in many cities at least, everything is set up around suburbs and a lot of things are car driven. So you're not necessarily going to be a walkable distance from these places that could potentially be your third place, which arguably makes them very inaccessible to some people. And I don't really want to depress you with that. So what I will do is I will link the article that I was reading about this and some of the other information about how people are reviving third places in different cities in the episode description. But what I wanted to do was provide a list of third places that, generally speaking, you could find anywhere you live, with the emphasis on ones that are free, because Lord knows we do not want to be spending money every time we leave the house. And it's not inherent to a third place that it has to be somewhere that costs money to get into. As a matter of fact, I think some of the best ones are the ones you can get into for free. So here's what I came up with. The public library, the art museum, a local park, or if you live near one, a national park, an aquarium, botanical garden, or historical society, a walking trail. It can be as simple as a park bench or a stoop overlooking a beautiful view at a park, a coffee shop, the pool table at your local bar, an EDM club, the dog park, the gym, church, that's a huge one for lots of communities, community centers, bookstores, makerspaces like a pottery studio, opera houses, movie theaters, barbershops, concert venues, nail or beauty salons, courtyards in a public space, open air markets, and bowling alleys. According to Oldenburg, the characteristics of a third place are that they are neutral ground, like there's no obligation to participate, and they're not tied down in any way financially, politically, legally. So, meaning to say, people can come and go freely as they please. And in this case, too, they should be a leveling place. It doesn't put importance on an individual's status within society, which is super, super important for this. Conversation can be the main activity at one of these places. There should be like a playful and happy mood and vibe, and focusing on whatever that activity is, but allowing for open conversation in these places. And they should be accessible and accommodating to everyone. They should have regulars, people that are commonly there and can be recognizable as if they're almost an extension of that place. So that being said, third places don't have to be a permanent physical brick and mortar space. They can also be events and recurring events, such as a knitting group, a book club that meets on a every 3 month basis, a silent disco, a weekly farmer's market in your hometown, a vintage clothing bazaar, or a pickup basketball game. They are not characterized by the fact that they have to be there all day, every day, and they can be recurring at a certain time or in a certain place, but that atmosphere and that accessibility is still inherent to them. One of the best ways of putting yourself out there is identifying your third places if you already have them. And if you don't have them, think about what kind of places you might like to go with people you share interests with and try to seek those out near you. The final way of putting yourself out there from the three examples I came up with is doing things for motivations that are outside of your own. I guess in a word, this would be selflessness, but I think there's a lot of ways to do this that are a little less presumptuous sounding than that. First of all, just by knowing your goals and the type of person that you want to be to those around you in your life, you can accomplish this within just your close circle of family and friends. But if you have a grander mission or a grander purpose that you are looking to accomplish, you can also expand this idea out into your work, into charitable actions, and things like that. But really what it just boils down to is putting yourself out there to contribute to the greater good. Now, full disclosure, I am a Catholic. I grew up Catholic, and I think my Catholic education has definitely ingrained this in me. When it comes to like Holy Cross values of option for the poor and just doing service as a way of learning about the world and interacting with the world, but also building character and commitment to helping people within yourself. So maybe my faith is putting a little bias on this way of putting yourself out there. But in general, I think no matter what you believe, it's super important to do this in whatever way feels authentic to you. Like maybe your way of doing this isn't volunteering at a local homeless shelter, but rather cooking meals for your friend who's been having a really hard time and isn't gonna admit it to you, but you know that they are. Like these don't have to be grand gestures. They really just have to be things that you are taking a moment to step outside of yourself and your own desires to do something nice for somebody else. And that kindness is gonna go a long way as far as building the confidence of somebody that is important to you, or maybe even a total stranger that will allow them to flourish and thrive and by proxy become the main character of their own life despite whatever obstacles may be in their way. You guys, unrelated, but I just discovered that little musical ditty and I think that is the cutest thing I've ever heard, so it's definitely going to be included as a transition in future episodes. There is just one more thing that I want to talk about when it comes to putting yourself out there, or alternatively, getting out of your comfort zone. These expressions are two sides of the same coin, but I have a bone to pick with the phrase comfort zone specifically, and I will tell you why. First of all, I think the phrase is really misleading because 9 times out of 10, what people are referring to when they say their comfort zone is not actually a place that is relaxing or fun or happy or somewhere they're genuinely comfortable, but rather it's a place that they are staying in out of what they feel like is obligation or also just out of plain fear. A lot of the times we don't try new things or quote unquote put ourselves out there because we're afraid of being judged, being humiliated, making a mistake, being bad at something. And those are all very normal feelings, but that's like the motivation for staying in the comfort zone, at least as I understand it. What I really think the term is trying to aim for is something more like a happy zone, something like a safe space or a safe haven that you build for yourself based on your own preferences and interests. And in that case, it would be more of like a building block for you to start from that place and then further branch out into different external places in your life. And maybe it wouldn't be so scary to put yourself out there into those places if you were viewing it from that perspective of like, this is my place and now I can use it as a jumping off point to somewhere that will expand my perspective or bring me a greater sense of community. So honestly, just poo-poo on whoever came up with the idea of the comfort zone, because I feel like it was well-intended, but not executed very well. It just reinforces this mentality that staying in your comfort zone is better to avoid something negative happening. It's like this double negative, and you're almost hiding within your comfort zone rather than being totally content within your happy zone. It building your confidence enough to discover and adventure in new places. So from here on out, I'm going to be using the term happy zone. You can join me in this pursuit or you can continue on using the term comfort zone. But what I will say about it is I think whatever you're going to call your zone, it has to be coming from a place of self-understanding. And that'll help inform what ways you're putting yourself outside of it. Because for example, for me, I'm a very extroverted person. It doesn't feel like a huge feat for me to interact with people in like what might typically be seen as uncomfortable social settings, but rather what's more uncomfortable to me is like a very vulnerable, deep one-on-one conversation. Or like a deep moment of self-realization. And that's because I know that I'm energized by talking to and being around other people. And I'm more so exhausted when I'm looking into myself and like reflecting on my own thoughts and feelings. It doesn't have to be some crazy moment of realization about yourself, but more so noticing on the day-to-day what energizes you, what makes you happy and excited and what makes you tick or what annoys you. And those kind of things might give you some clues as to what is exhausting you and what to avoid in that way. And my last important tidbit on this topic is knowing when to get out of the comfort zone. This just further emphasizes what I was saying earlier about not wanting your comfort zone to be a place that you're hiding in out of avoidance of something else, but a place that you're genuinely happy in. Because there are so many times when you don't want to branch out in any way. Maybe you're like physically sick, or you're just going through a really hard time, or it could be as simple as not wanting to spend a lot of money. I've definitely been in a period of that for the last few months here. Those are great examples of times when it might be more advantageous to not branch out as much and to try just restoring your health and your energy. Whereas some examples of times that you would want to put yourself out there would be when you're feeling stuck or restless or bored. That's a huge one, because bored is a little bit less urgent, I would say, than feeling stuck or restless. It doesn't have that like implied bitterness, but it may be a great time to try something that you wouldn't usually try. Also, it should be said that times to put yourself out there do not always have to stem from those negative feelings I just listed. Like, sometimes you're just craving more meaning, and that's not a negative thing. So I guess just paying close attention to what you're feeling and also assessing the timing of things. Like, is now a good time for me to pick up a new skill or introduce a weekly book club into my life? Like, do I have too many other things going on? I definitely am one who needs to hear this advice, because I take on a lot of projects whether I have the time or not. I kind of make the time around them. And that's not always healthiest for my sleep schedule. But anyway, putting yourself out there in any way is the trait of a person who has gumption. And most importantly, it is the trait of a main character. So I challenge you to try these things. Getting out of your own head through journaling, reading books with narrators whose perspectives are very different from your own, and listening to your friends who are very honest with you. Getting out of the damn house by going on a walk and exploring third places that you can keep coming back to seek conversation and community. And doing things for motivations outside of your own. Finding a purpose that you can serve that has nothing to do with your own desires, and getting out there and helping someone or being kind. And also ditching the phrase comfort zone. Let's make our formerly called comfort zones into our gumption zones. Also known as a place you can be content and happy in, but not because you're hiding there to avoid negative experiences. This is a place where we can be happy, rest, and restore, but then it will launch us into new things too. That is all for now, my friends. This was episode 30, and if you're still here, thank you so much. I always love hearing feedback about our episodes, so if you're listening on Spotify, comment with the interactive feature and stay following us on Instagram @gumptionpod for all the updates. You guys are the best, and you're the reason that I keep putting myself out there. So I hope this episode helped a little bit if you're feeling stuck or craving more. Love you guys. Bye.